Donna is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across Northwest today. This is their story. In one of the worst-off constituencies in England, healthcare assistants with years of ward experience watch nursing programmes sit half-empty while hospitals struggle to fill shifts. The capacity to train exists, the people ready to learn exist, but the decision to connect them has been blocked by Treasury spending limits that treat public investment as a burden rather than the pathway to a functioning health service.
I've always known I wanted to be a nurse. Growing up in Smallbridge, I left school at 16 to care for my mum when her MS got worse. 5 years of watching district nurses come and go, learning how to manage medications, understanding what good care looks like when someone's world is shrinking. After mum passed, I got a job as a healthcare assistant at Rochdale Infirmary, and every shift confirmed what I already knew. I could do more than empty bedpans and take observations. I have a rescue greyhound called Buster, and those morning walks along the Rochdale Canal before my shifts became the time when I'd imagine myself with the blue uniform instead of the green, making the clinical decisions instead of just following them. In 2019, I finally applied to study adult nursing at the University of Salford. I'd saved enough to cover my living costs, passed all the entrance requirements, and had glowing references from three ward managers at Rochdale Infirmary. The course was exactly what I'd been preparing for. 3 years of theory and practice placement that would get me registered with the Nursing and Midwifery Council. When my conditional offer came through, I thought I was finally on my way. 2 weeks later, the university called. Health Education England had allocated funding for 150 nursing places across Greater Manchester that year, they told me, but Treasury spending controls meant they could only fill 89 places. The budget has been cut, the admissions officer explained. We have to turn away qualified applicants because we simply cannot afford to run the full programme. It sounded reasonable. Disappointing, but reasonable. I deferred for a year and picked up extra shifts at the infirmary. I applied again in 2020, this time with even stronger references and a year more experience. Same story. The admissions team at Salford told me they had the capacity to train me. The lecture theatres were there, the clinical placement partners were ready, but Health Education England's allocation had been capped again. We understand how frustrating this must be, they said, but our hands are tied by the funding available. I deferred again. By then, I was getting angry. I contacted NHS England directly, speaking to a workforce planning officer who explained the system. Treasury treats training investment as expenditure rather than investment, she said. So we cannot fund all the places we need, even though we know there's a nursing shortage. It's a question of what we can afford. The phrase came up in every conversation I had. What we can afford, what the budget allows, what the Treasury will sign off on. But something didn't add up. In late 2021, I was visiting my friend Sarah, who worked as an administrator at Salford's nursing school. Walking through the building, I saw lecture theatres sitting empty 3 days a week, simulation labs with clinical training equipment covered in dust sheets, and teaching staff on reduced hours because there weren't enough students to teach. Sarah told me they'd had to turn away 60 qualified applicants that year alone. The facilities existed. The teaching staff existed. The people who desperately wanted to train existed. That's when I started asking different questions. If the building is there, and the teachers are there, and the people are there, what exactly is it that there is no money for? The government that prints every pound note told me it couldn't find enough of them to connect me to the training I needed to fill the gaps on the wards I was already working on. The real resources were all in place. The physical space, the expertise, the motivated students, the hospitals crying out for qualified staff. But because someone in Westminster had decided that public spending needed to be rationed like a household budget, those resources sat disconnected from each other. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still working as a healthcare assistant, still watching qualified people get turned away from nursing programmes while wards run short-staffed. but I understand now that what happened to me wasn't bad luck or an unfortunate shortage. It was the result of a series of political choices made by people who had alternatives. Every empty lecture theatre, every unfilled training place, every healthcare assistant stuck in a role they've outgrown because the pathway to advancement has been artificially blocked. These are the visible signs of a government that chose scarcity over investment. This isn't just my story. It's happening in every constituency where the resources to solve problems exist side by side with the problems themselves, while someone with the power to connect them says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. It was locked.
What Donna experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique works by citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident truth. It's like the tobacco industry citing doctors who claimed smoking was healthy, or pharmaceutical companies highlighting studies that downplayed side effects while ignoring the overwhelming evidence of harm. In Donna's case, every time someone said there is no money for training, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer, treating this as economic fact rather than political choice. When she was told economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, she was hearing an appeal to unnamed authority. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. In Donna's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. Empty lecture theatres, qualified teaching staff on reduced hours, motivated applicants turned away, all while hospitals struggled with understaffing. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Rochdale ranks 43 out of 543 English constituencies on deprivation, placing it in decile 1, the most deprived English indices of deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 612 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Local organisations received £16.1 million in grants, 360 giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.